So I would like to invite Moa to come forward, and Brant and Susan. I really want to kind of keep this spirit of testimony time, healing, sending off, prayer, the life, the movement of what God is doing. So, Moa, I'd like you to come and just share what has happened to you this week.
Good morning. My name is Moa. And, you know, I am pregnant now. And I would like to share a small testimony of mine with you guys. And since the beginning of April, I was suffered from the intense abdominal pain for many times, and it was really horrible for me because it was when I was in 23 weeks pregnancy or something. So, if such an abdominal pain, belly pain, had something with my baby, the baby could not be alive. So it was really hard for me to endure physically and mentally. And on the last month, in May, I had such an abdominal pain again. And at the following prenatal clinic visit, it was found out I had a symptom of early labor. And I had a uterus contraction and a shortened uterus cervix and other symptoms. So it was really challenging for me. And so I talked to a lady in this church to pray for us, me and the baby and for my husband. And I know, including you guys, and some of this church prayed for us. And in the next week, in the several days, ultrasound showed that my shortened uterus cervix was back to normal. So, yes, and I don't have any more pain in my belly, in my tummy. And now I am so in peace because we found that God is with me on the whole way of my pregnancy. And so we are really grateful for the support and comfort from this church given by God. And actually, this is the day, on the same day last year, we came to this church. And we are really appreciating for so much grace and comfort and support of this church. And we are very happy to belonging to this church as a member. And I praise the Lord. Thank you.
So we are commissioning Brant and Susan, but they have been the heartbeat of prayer for quite a while in this church, and so I would like you to pray for Moa and her husband. Thank you for that beautiful testimony.
Lord, we just lift up Moa and Shige to you in this little unborn life, Lord God, and we are so thankful. We just declare your praises for new life, Lord. We say we are thankful for this new life.
Thank you so much. We're so happy to to have welcomed Moa and her husband into the assembly last year, all the way from Japan, and they've been a real gift to us. Talking about gifts and coming and going, this next couple, come back up, please. It's so easy for them to pray because they have this heart for prayer. First time I met Brant in this assembly a few years ago. I think they'd come off the mission field from the Philippines, come to Regent. You had a lot of experiences to share, but he called us again and again to prayer, and that has been their message for the last 4 years, 3 years. So guess what? They're going off to the school of prayer. more prayer. The International School House of Prayer, Kansas City. But before we pray for you this morning, I've asked them to just share a little bit about what has brought you to this deciding moment at this time to make this decision. And Susan herself is making a career move out of, well, you know, the everyday grind and into the next step that God has for them. And so both of you, and then I've asked them to bring us a word as well. So, big task.
Well, I just want to give God glory because he birthed in this place a place in our hearts for prayer. And we were not prayer people before really coming. I mean, we prayed, but it wasn't something that was really on our hearts. But how this came about was a couple years ago, we went to the International House of Prayer, and it was really life-changing. And I was back in December for a two-week stint of just sitting in the prayer room, and what is hours of praying seems just like mere minutes in the House of Prayer. And I was sitting there, and I felt the Lord say to me, I want you to come for a time of training. And I put it off a few times, and I kept on hearing it, I want you to come for a time of training. And I thought, hey, that's great. I can do this, Lord, but you're going to have to convince my wife. And I was like, that's the miracle right there. I'm not doing it. I'm not even going to say it to her. You have to do it. And so...
Yeah, so we had some interesting times in that early part of December. I was working a lot of overtime and feeling pretty stressed out and a little bit jealous. Honestly, I wanted time alone to be with the Lord, and going really happy Brant was there because I knew it impacts us both, and I was blessing him to be there, but wanted time there alone too. And I was just at different times sitting at my desk praying, going like, Lord, how come I can't get a time there? Like, can we go? Can I spend some time at the House of Prayer? And I just heard him say, well, why can't you go? And so then I had to sit and think about, well, why can't I go? We have to pay rent. We have to pay back this loan. This is my career. And then I realized all those things slowly. Like, God was gracious and merciful as he was revealing this to me, but I was realizing all those things were actually idols. I was putting those things before God, my relationship with him. And I always think of idols as bright and shiny things, like a nice new car, a beautiful house, nice clothes, like things that everybody wants, but not really realizing, like, rent payments, that's an idol? How can that be, like, something that I'm really actually saying, no, God, you can't handle it? And so we had a journey to go. We had an opportunity to go back to the House of Prayer after Christmas, and again, thinking about money, adding up all the expenses to go, I thought, well, I don't think we can do this. And again, I felt the Lord go, it's really important you're there for this conference. So we were obedient. We went. I went to the conference, and I was the whole time kind of on the edge of my seat going, well, what is it? What am I supposed to hear? And at the end of one talk, the person who was speaking just said, ask the Lord for one or two things that he really wants to see changed in your heart. It's not going to be condemning. There's just going to be some things he wants to work on in your heart. And he told the two things I got through journaling, which I'd learned through the Hearing from God course through with Tony and Judy. Two things I got really quickly were God just said, you need to trust me more. I was like, okay,
that's true. And then the second word I got was a correction word, and he told me that he was a way better provider than I was, than I could ever be for our family. And that was a little bit of an ouch, because I didn't even realize that as Brant was going to school and I was working full-time and going through the corporate ladder and doing well, like the Lord had blessed me in the jobs I'd had, but realized that had become part of my identity, that I thought I was the breadwinner. And but the word was also really freeing, because it meant that I could give it to him. I didn't have to work so hard. And if he's a better provider, he'd do a way better job than I was. So that was great, but it was, what does this all mean? And 2 days later, somebody was ministering to Brant, and we didn't know her. We were still in Kansas City. And in the middle of her ministry time to Brant, she turns to me and says, "Susan, I feel like the Lord wants you to stop worrying about money." And of course, I giggled, and I was just thinking, "Lord, how perfect is your timing?" And so again, the confirmation came, and all along there was little confirmations, and not knowing when the time was, we just felt, I'll let Brant share a little bit about it.
Well, just to go back, when I had said, "Okay, God, you have to reveal this to her, I'm not even going to mention it," it was a day, and she texted me and said, I think we should go to the house of prayer. I'd love to be there." And I said, "Well, why don't you ask the Lord? You might be surprised by the answer," because I had known. He already told me I'm going to tell her. So it was a testimony that he had already been working in her heart. And so from there, yeah, we kind of just one day woke up and said, "It's time." We thought it'd be a year or two. We had no clue it would be so quickly. But there's total peace on this, and we feel like he's totally provided. He's great gifts here and there. So it's been wonderful. Yeah.
If you had a word for us before we pray, what would it be as a body here?
Maybe just going off of this theme is that when I've been sharing this testimony and sharing that we're going, we've had quite a few Christians say to us, "Well, I could never do that. I could never just give up and go." But that's, I mean, he's not going to call us all to do this. But we have to check our hearts and say, "Lord, where am I holding on to things? Where am I grasping on things and saying, I can't do something if you call?" So maybe if we just would check our hearts and say, "God, reveal the areas in our lives where if you do call, we can just let go." And whatever that means maybe going next door and sharing our faith with somebody else. But yeah, maybe that would be it.
That's a great word. Thank you so much. Thank you. Stanley, would you just come and pray? And we want to bless you and release you, and we thank God for you. And, well, it's a new day every day.
Can we get a few others to come up as well?
I want to say that for me and Tamara, Brant and Susan have been instrumental in our walk. We were at a place where they came in at the right time, and I call them a fire starter. So I want to bless them. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for Brant and Susan. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you go before them, that you have prepared the way and you prepared their hearts. Thank you, Father, that they have answered your call for obedience. And Lord, that you live and you move and they have their being in you. Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, that you would be all over them in every way, that you resource them to do the work that you have called them to do, that this time would be a time of rest, but a time of learning and of training, Lord Jesus. I know you have big plans for them. You're going to open new doors for them into new places that they don't even know today about. And so, Jesus, we thank you that you exceed our expectations in every way. And we just pray blessings over them. We're going to miss them, but we also know, Lord, that your ways are way better than what we can even imagine. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we just thank you for blessing this whole ministry, this adventure you're taking them on. And we add our blessing to what you're doing in their lives. In Jesus' beautiful name. Thank you, Lord.
Just to add that we do have a blog up. We just put it up. And we ask for your prayer requests. Put them on there, because we're intercessory missionaries. This is what we're going to do. We're going to be praying, and our mission field is PGCC. It is Vancouver. It's Canada. So we're going to be there 4 hours plus in the prayer room every day praying for this church and you guys. So feel free. Please put them on there.
Thank you. That's great. Thanks so much. Julia, come forward. Bless you.
Good morning. Ah, community, it's wonderful and it's kind of heartbreaking at the same time sometimes, isn't it? So much coming and going. And if you are new, welcome. We're really, really glad that you're here. We have some connection cards, so I'm going to, in a moment, actually right now, I'll probably ask all the ushers to come up. And if you're new, could you just raise your hand, and our ushers are going to give you a little connection card. You can just fill out your email address, and it's a way that we can get in touch with you and welcome you properly into our community. And we have some very, very new members in our community. I am happy to announce the birth of Neva. Is it Neva or Neva? Did I get it right, Johnny? Neva, to Johnny and Esther Grant this week. And there she is. So congratulations, you guys. And we had another baby born, Lila. She was born to Mark and Lauren Moody. So there she is. So welcome to our newest members. All right, if you need an offering envelope, just, again, raise your hand, and we'll get an offering envelope to you. I'm just going to pray, and then we'll take up the offering. Lord Jesus, we come to you from so many different places this morning. And again, God, we just want to declare that you are good and say thank you. Thank you for uniting us by your Spirit. Thank you for this community, for this church. Thank you for being you. Thank you for the life that you offer us and the freedom that you offer us. And so, God, we give back to you this morning in a spirit of thankfulness. In your name, amen. All right, let's take up the offering. We have a number of announcements, but I'm only going to mention a couple of them. So again, just encourage you to look in your e-bulletin, the newsletter that gets sent around to your email. And if you're not on that list, talk to me or talk to Sarah Kift, and we'll make sure that you're on it. Baptisms are going to be on August 26th. So that's a different date yet again, but we promise this time it is the last date change. So August 26th, baptisms. Talk to Tim or talk to one of the elders or Christine Hamill if you're interested in being baptized. Also, just there was a slight misprint in the newsletter this week. The keyboard workshop that's happening on Monday night, Monday, June 18th, is not happening after the service, but happening at 7:30 in the evening. So right here, Tao will be leading that. July 2nd, so that is the day after Canada Day. There is another barbecue going on here, and it's a fundraiser. Julie Christie is organizing it, and it's for the Mully Children's Family Foundation. And so they work in Kenya. If you're interested in helping out or coming or want more information, talk to Julie Christie, and she can fill you in a bit more about that. And then also the Canada Day block party. We've shifted gears a little bit with this, and this is kind of... this is a lesson I think we're always learning in church, is that church is about people and not necessarily programs. And so we wanted this event to be an event where we could get to know our neighbors. And as Sarah and I have been chatting with our neighbors over the last little while, we've realized this actually isn't the best weekend for them. And so we're going to have our own family barbecue here. So we're still going to have something, and it's going to be a good time. And we'll just keep that getting to know the neighbors on the back burner. We're definitely going to get to know them, but just at a time that's good for our community. So I think that's everything. So I'm going to pass it off to Deborah.
Great. It's always good to be listening. We're all about listening. So Tim, I'd like to invite you up. We were in the prayer room this morning, and we had a wonderful word for Tim, and I hope that you received it. And that was joy.
Yeah.
That you would, in spite of everything, in spite of all that we're doing and all these new changes and all these new things going on, that you would be released in joy.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. And so please stand. Please stand with me. And let's just, Tim, we know that you have prepared your heart this morning and that you have that word that's in season. But let's all agree and extend our hand that the joy of the Lord would continue, if it's not already there, that there would be joy for Tim. Father, that you would release him from any burden, that he would enjoy preaching your word this morning, that he would sense new freedom in this place and new life for himself and his family, Lord. In your precious name, we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Be free.
Amen. Thank you, Deborah. Let's move that. Good morning, everybody. How's it going? It's been a good time in God's presence so far. Amen. I don't have a lot of time today, so I'm going to switch things up a little bit from what I'd planned to do. I want to talk this morning about baptism in the Holy Spirit. I feel like the Lord has been leading us to this place. We've been flirting with it for a while. It's now time to sort of jump in and explore this topic in not as much detail as I'd planned, and I think that's okay. I feel like the Lord's been moving among us this morning and leading us to a place where we want to come and receive whatever it is that Jesus wants to pour out on us. And I don't really need to go into the Old Testament background, the Old Testament information on this. If you want some of that, you can listen to the sermon that Mike Beaumont preached a couple of weeks ago. He talked a bit about the foundations of the baptism in the Spirit from the Old Testament. But just needless to say that really from the beginning of the Scriptures, where the Spirit is hovering over creation, bringing life and order and the conditions for fruitfulness out of chaos, this image that human beings, as we're breathed into by God's breath, His Ruach, His breath, His Spirit, we become living beings, that what we were intended for was to live in a world that was filled with the glory and the presence of God, and that our bodies, our lives, would be embedded entirely in a deep and intimate relationship with God through His Spirit, where we would live face to face with Him. In fact, this beautiful image of Adam walking with God in the cool of the evening that's mentioned in Genesis 3. And the rupture of that relationship when sin enters the picture is so devastating. And the question that God asks when He's looking for Adam after Adam has sinned and is now hiding from God, he's now full of shame over what he's done. God cries out, "Where are you, Adam?" We were intended to be close. We were intended to walk face to face, hand in hand, through life. This is what I made you for. And sin has ruptured that. And of course, we're sent out of Eden. And there's no way back in. There's an angel that guards the entrance to Eden with a fiery sword. In other words, the only way back into Eden is through death. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for us, of course, has opened a way for us to come back into paradise, into Eden, through His death and resurrection. And that way in is not a place, it's not a way into Eden in the sense of, well, we're just longing for this place that we'll go to when we die. The promise is that we are now invited once again back into that kind of relationship with God, where we can walk with Him through life, face to face, hand in hand, spirit to spirit, where we are filled with His glory and His presence. That's the promise of humanity. That is what we were made for. And you see this promise emerge all the way through the Old Testament, but in particular Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36, that there is a time coming where you'll no longer relate to me as we are now, where I'm distant and removed from you, and you need laws in order to know how to behave. There is a time coming when I will put my Spirit in you, and I will take away your hearts of stone, your hearts of sin, and I'll give you back hearts of flesh, hearts that are able to actually know me and love me, hearts that are able to be filled with the Spirit and the presence of God. It's this beautiful promise that what God is going to do, what all of the Old Testament is looking forward to, is a time when the Spirit will once again fill us and dwell us, indwell in us in a way that was intended in the beginning. So when I talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, what I really mean is that we're being drawn into the promise that's opened up by the prophets, where our lives, all that we are, everything that we are, would be embedded in the fullness of the reality of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I know that there's been all kinds of weird teaching on this through the years. And seriously, who calls a church on a Sunday morning? I mean, really? What were they thinking, you know? We'll just stop and did someone answer that? We'll just see who it is. Maybe it's Jesus trying to get our attention. I'm not even sure what I was saying. When Jesus appears on the scene to now fulfill what the prophets had predicted would happen, what's the first thing that John the Baptist says about Jesus' ministry? One is coming who is greater than I. He will I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that fire is that consuming passion where everything that you are is caught up in what God is doing. It's like God sets a match to you and you burn now for his glory. That's the one thing that you live for. And it's the fire that cleanses our souls and our minds and enables us to become pure and holy and righteous. It's a gift of God. It's not earned. It's something given. Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. He'll draw you back in again into a life that is embedded fully, immersed fully. That's what the word baptism means, immersed into the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And it will be like a fire in your body that will consume you and focus you toward one thing and one thing only. You will burn for the glory of God. When we come to John 16, I'm just going to reference these scriptures so you can look them up as we go. We come to John 16 and Jesus says, "A time is coming now where I'm about to leave you. But I promise you this, I will not leave you as orphans. It's actually good that I go away. Because when I go, I will send the Spirit to you. And the Spirit himself will lead you into all truth. He will take everything that the Father has given to me, and he will give it to you. All things that I've received from the Father, the Spirit will make known to you. This is what's going to happen when the Spirit comes upon you." And then, of course, in Acts 1, Jesus says, it's about to happen. Wait in Jerusalem, and the gift that the Father has promised will come to you. John baptized with water. Jesus references this, but I will baptize you in a few days with the Holy Spirit. And you'll receive boldness and power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. So again, it's not just about what God wants to do in us and for us, but there's also a propelling edge to this where the Spirit comes upon us in order that we might overcome all fear and that we might be bold to do what it is that Christ has called each of us to do. Now, I would have been praying all this week for the Lord to speak to me about what he wanted to say to us this morning. What's he want to do among us? And I felt like the Lord actually turned the question back on me. And interestingly, Tony prayed this early this morning. As I'm praying, "Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you want to do?" I felt the Lord said to me, "What do you want me to do? You tell me what you want me to do. What's in your heart?" And as I prayed about that, I thought, you know what? All that I really want and the driving passion of my life. It's interesting you have these moments of clarity where everything sort of draws together. And I felt that it was clear to me that what I really wanted as a leader, as a pastor, is to simply see all of you released into all that God has for your lives. That's why I've been called to lead this church. Not because I want to build a great ministry that will reflect me, but I want to be part of something that is a ministry that is building that enables all of us to be released and empowered to do what it is that the Spirit wants to do through us and through you. That's all I want. And as I reflected on my own journey as a Christian, I realized that the moments of key transformation for me, where I have gone from, you know, living in one place to being suddenly propelled forward in God's will and God's calling, has not been as the result of fabulous sermons that I've heard. I can maybe remember three or four of the sermons I've heard preached in my whole life. I mean, seriously, I've heard thousands of sermons, and I can probably only remember three or four of them that I felt really impacted me, you know. Maybe that says more about me. I'm not sure what that says. You know, I went to Regent, and that was fantastic, and I learned a lot of things, but the information itself wasn't transformative. It didn't change my life. It gave me a whole bunch of new information, helped me to understand the scriptures a little better, but it didn't change my soul. The things that we're often looking for, the transformation, the calling, the courage, the power to do what God has called us to do, doesn't come by information, it comes by the Spirit of God. And I don't mean to put a dampener on teaching. I love good teaching. You know, I love it when you're listening to someone, you know they're filled with the Spirit and they're opening up the scriptures and you can just feel something in your soul happening. I know the power of teaching. I'm not saying the teaching isn't important. But often we need to be careful that we're not looking for that gift and that ministry to do what only the Spirit of God can do in us. And as I thought about my own journey, those moments of key transformation where I knew I had to take a step in this direction or that direction came directly as a response to God speaking and the Holy Spirit empowering me. I'm going to share some of those stories, but just before I do, I want to quickly show you something in the book of Acts that I hope will enable you to understand that the baptism of the Spirit, this filling, this immersion into the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, is not meant to be a one-off experience that we have as believers. It's meant to be something that's ongoing in the life of the church. And so Jesus promises in Acts 1 that he will pour out the Spirit on the church and they will become bold and they will have power to do his will, to do his ministry, and we will be his witnesses. Then, of course, in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is poured out on the church and Peter stands up. Well, the Holy Spirit's poured out, the place is shaken. It's obvious that God is doing something. The disciples there stand up, they start speaking in other tongues, and then they go out, and it's not, they don't just stay where they are to, I guess Mike was saying a couple of weeks ago that it's most likely this is happening in and around the temple, but they don't stay in their own little huddle. Immediately the Spirit propels them to preach, to proclaim what God is doing. And Peter stands up and he says, what you're seeing happening right now is the fulfillment of that promise in Joel chapter 2. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days and they will prophesy. So the promise here is that the Spirit will be given to everybody and anyone who comes in faith. I will do this, declares the Lord. Doesn't matter who you are or where you've been or what you've done or where you're going, God can interrupt you and fill you with his Holy Spirit if you come in faith. That's what the Lord promises to us. Then you go over to Acts chapter 4, and now there's probably a few more believers, but they're all gathered together. This is after Peter and John have been released they were arrested by the Sanhedrin and beaten, and then they were released and they've come back to gather with the other believers. And on their release, Acts chapter 4, verse 23, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Listen to these people. Peter and John have just been beaten. And they've come back and they said, hey guys, we just got our asses kicked. Pardon the French. And you know what? We're not going to be deterred from this mission. So the church gathers around them and said, they see the courage of Peter and John and they say, we want that. Even if we're going to get beaten too, Holy Spirit, come and empower us so that we too can speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So this is after Acts 2. This is a second Pentecost, if you like. The church is praying for the ability to overcome fear, and the Spirit of God turns up and empowers them boldly again. And the place where they were meeting was shaken. Sometimes we need a little shaking up. Are you with me? Then in Acts 9, actually Acts 8, go to Acts 8, and you see there's a group of Samaritans who've just come to faith in Acts chapter 8. And so the apostles in Jerusalem, when they heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So I just want those couple of verses to completely mess your theology up right now, because these are a group of disciples who have accepted the Lord Jesus, been baptized, but have not yet received the Holy Spirit. Okay, moving right along. Acts chapter 9. This is after Saul's conversion. So Saul is converted. He meets Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he goes to see Ananias. In fact, the Lord spoke to Ananias and said, go to Saul. And Ananias is like, if I go to Saul, I'm going to die because he's persecuting the church. And the Lord says, it's okay. I've called him to myself. Verse 17, so then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me to you so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. So this time, Saul believes, receives the Holy Spirit, and then he's baptized. Right? You know what? Jesus said something about the Holy Spirit once, which is that the Holy Spirit is like wind. He does whatever the heck he wants to do. If he wants to do it this way, he'll do it that way. If he wants to do it this way, he'll do it that way. One of the things that often stops us from entering into the fullness of the Spirit is that we want to figure it out. We want to make it fit into an understandable set of categories. And the trouble with that is that it really takes the mystery away. It takes the element of faith away. If you can understand how the Spirit is going to move in any and all circumstances, then you don't need to have faith. You've got it under control. In fact, you're controlling the Holy Spirit. In actual fact, he wants us to surrender ourselves to him so that he can lead us and he can control us. And so I just want to, I guess, warn you as we talk about this. I know for many of you this has been a place of spiritual abuse and manipulation. And I feel the Lord just wants to take some of that away, heal that, and remind us again that he's given us his Spirit so that we can be led into all truth, so that we can be comforted. He's the counselor. He's the one who wants to draw us alongside Jesus and reveal all that Jesus is to us. So don't grieve the Spirit in your own life. Don't limit the Spirit in your own life just because of what other people have tried to put on you or what you may have experienced in the past. Let the past be the past. It's a new day. The Lord wants to lead us into something new. The Spirit is the breath of God. It's the wind of God. And he wants to go here, and he wants to go there. No one knows where he comes from or where he goes. He does what he likes. Acts 10. This is the first group of Gentile believers then come into faith in Christ. And so Peter is sent to them by the Holy Spirit to go and see what it is that God has done. He's heard a report that they've come to believe in Jesus. And this is the first time that Gentiles have come to faith in Christ. So Peter is sent up there to go and check it out, make sure it's kosher, or not kosher, as it were. Verse 44, Peter goes to them, and while Peter was still speaking these words, he's talking about the gospel, really, he's explaining the gospel. So these people believe in Jesus, but they don't really understand the fullness of the gospel yet. So Peter is unfolding that, and verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water?" It's like, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have, so he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. And now when you go over to Acts 15, and you end up in the Jerusalem Council where Peter has gone back to explain what happened among the Gentiles. And when the Jerusalem Council of Apostles hear what God has done among the Gentiles, one of the questions that you'd ask yourself is, what is the litmus test? What's the sign that these people have become followers of Jesus? Is it the purity of their gospel? Can they explain to you the four spiritual laws? What is it about these men and women who have become believers in Jesus that marks them out as disciples of Jesus Christ? And this is what Peter says in Acts 15, verse 7. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. "Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe in God. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between them and us, for he purified their hearts by faith." Wasn't purity of their gospel as such the sign that they had become disciples of Jesus, was that the Holy Spirit had been poured out on them. You with me? And then Acts 19, final one. This is Paul now in Ephesus. And the background here is that the Ephesian church had been planted, as far as we can tell, by another apostle by the name of Apollos. And whatever it was that Apollos had taught the people there, it wasn't quite sufficient. It wasn't good enough. And Paul, when he arrives, realizes that something is drastically wrong with the believers there in Ephesus, so he begins a conversation with them. Well, Apollos was at Corinth, so Apollos has now left and gone back to Corinth. Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asks, "So what baptism did you receive?" "Well, John's baptism," they replied, "which is a baptism for repentance." Paul said, "John's baptism was about..." Oh, sorry, Paul explains that I didn't need to do that. Probably should have read this more carefully. "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all." And I guess all I really wanted to say through those scriptures is that it happens in a number of different ways, before baptism, after baptism, but it's quite clear from a fairly cursory reading of those verses in Acts that the gift of the Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, this kind of full immersion into the Holy Spirit, is something distinct simply from conversion and water baptism. I know that makes some of us uncomfortable, And theologically, I can say that no one comes to Christ and is born again except by the Holy Spirit. So we're all born of God by the Spirit. But there's something different about being born of God by the Spirit and being baptized into the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're talking about here. No one can be born again unless they're born again by the Spirit. Amen? So if you're born again, you have received that gift from the Holy Spirit. But there is a moment in every believer's life where the Lord wants to draw you into the fullness of God's power to do what you've been called to do as a disciple. Just a couple of quick stories, because I wanted to leave time for us to pray this morning. And I mentioned that these were very transformative moments in my life where I really felt I was called and equipped by God in some specific ways. One of the first times that I ever encountered the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit was I was about 13 or 14, and I was at a youth camp. I hadn't been baptized yet. And the speaker had been talking for a couple of days. And I was on the last night of this camp, invited people just to come and repent and receive Jesus if you hadn't. Now, I thought I'd received Jesus, but I was a little bit confused in the moment as to what was going on. So I thought, all right, I'm just going to come and pray again to receive Jesus. And as we were praying, this camp leader then said, "Now, Lord, I just want you to pour out your Spirit on these people and let them know how much you love them." And I had an experience in that moment that I still remember to this day, even after the emotion has kind of, the memory of the emotion has died. I know in that moment that I met with the Lord face to face, and I was so full of joy, and the repentance was so deep and real. I remember just weeping and weeping. And I guess it just confirmed to me that God actually exists. He's real. And he actually loves me. And this is really good. And I want to be a disciple. You know, I didn't need to be convinced anymore. I just wanted whatever it was that God had for me. And so after that, I went back home and I got baptized not long after. In fact, the pastor who baptized me, I was part of an Anglican church at that time, told me that he wouldn't baptize me unless I invited everyone from school. So I had to print off like 200 invitations and give them to everyone in my class at school. But you know what? I was up for it because I had met God, and this was real, and I didn't need to be convinced to live my faith anymore. It was scary, sure, but I was up for it. I'm like, all right, if that's what it means for me to get baptized, that's what I'm going to do. So I invited all of my classmates. I was in grade 8. Everyone I knew, I gave them an invitation. And that following Sunday, about 60 of them turned up to church. I confessed my faith in Jesus in front of them all. We went down to the public swimming pool. I got baptized there in front of about 300 other people just looking on going, what the heck is this weird thing? And that was on Sunday. On Monday, I went to school knowing that now everyone knew that I was a follower of Jesus. I was fully out of the closet, as it were. There was no hiding anymore. And I thank God for that wise pastor. His name was Reverend Harridans. He had one half of his body was shriveled from polio. But he was a godly man. I remember him preaching about, it's one of the sermons I do remember, how one day God's going to give him a new body. And he just thought that was the best thing in the world. And he's going to run around in bare feet because he'd never been able to walk in bare feet before because one of his legs was about a foot shorter than the other. Second time I encountered God's power was also at a youth camp. Any youth camp leaders here? There's something that goes on at youth camp. We were praying. The guy that was leading the meeting was a fellow by the name of Phil Daughtry. Had a big influence on both Melissa and I. And he just invited people to come forward to receive the Holy Spirit. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I went up by faith. And he just started to pray from the front, and bam, I just hit the ground. No one touched me. No one prayed for me specifically, but the Spirit of God just came on me, and I just collapsed. And a lot of people have asked me over the years, why do people fall over? I think, well, what do you think your body would do if you encountered the fullness of the glory of God? It would shrivel up into a pea. Of course you're going to fall over if the glory of God touches your flesh. I mean, and that's exactly what it felt like. God just touched me and my body just, lost all its strength. Bam, I hit the ground, and I'm lying on the ground, on the dirt, in this tent, for probably a good hour and a half, and the whole time it just felt like my body was on fire. And I felt like God was cleansing me, just cleansing me and filling me with the flame of his love. And I remember standing up after that experience and looking around, and I'd experienced a depth of love in that moment that I have not really ever since. Like the weight and the intensity of God's love in my soul was just about more than I could bear. It was so real, so powerful. And I walked away from that now knowing I wasn't just saved, but that God loved me with an intensity of love that I can barely even comprehend. And that did something to me that I can't even explain to you. All I know is that I just wanted more. I had become a junkie, really. Not long after that, the pastor at our church kind of hosted a little prophetic prayer training. And I went along because I was really interested now in the ministry of the Spirit. And we were praying for this lady, and I'd never really heard God speak to me for someone else before. But we're praying for this woman, and I guess the opportunity was just listen, and if God speaks to you, then share what you're hearing. So I'm about 17 at this time, and we're praying for this woman. I just felt like God gave me a word for it. I mean, I didn't even have the words for it then. I didn't know that you say, I feel like the Lord has given me a word for you. I didn't know what that meant. So I just thought, okay, I think I've got something, and I shared something very simple for this woman, and she began to weep in response to what I'd said, and then it sort of built from there, and she experienced a very powerful moment of deliverance and healing. And I could not believe it. I walked away from that experience thinking, God actually wants to speak to other people through me. You know, this is blowing my 17-year-old mind. Not long after that, high school finished, and I had to make a decision about what I was going to do with the rest of my life, right? It's funny how you think that the decision you make at the end of grade 12 is going to be the final decision for everything. So if you're in that point in life, be at peace. Because everything's going to change, you know. How many here are actually working in a career that relates to the thing they studied at university? Anyone? How many of you are not? Yeah, see? Look. I had to make a decision. I was really struggling as to where God was leading me. I felt God calling me to ministry, something more, to be discipled. I didn't really know what that meant. So, and I'd been given a really good opportunity at another school to go study film. And I was just on my knees in my bedroom, and I was saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. You need to tell me what to do. Should I go this direction or this direction? And I had an experience that I can only describe to you as a kind of trance. The Holy Spirit just came on me in that moment. I guess it was a vision or a dream, I don't know, but all I know is I lost all sense of my surroundings and I became caught up in something that God did. And he took me into a scene, into a courtroom scene. And I felt, and it was like God the Father was on the bench, he was the judge. And the accuser was there. And on the table in front of me were all these exhibits of all the things that I'd ever done wrong. All the things that stood against me and condemned me. And I'm looking at all these things going, well, I'm stuffed, I'm screwed, this is it. God's never going to forgive me. And of course the enemy is accusing me, saying, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. And then my defense attorney shows up. And Jesus stands in front of me and this table with all the things on it that I'd ever done wrong. And he says to the judge, I paid for all of that. It's done. And the judge just brings down the gavel and says, innocent. And I'm teary just thinking about this. And then Jesus turned around and looked at me and said, you're not condemned any longer. And I said, but I still don't know what to do. And he said, what you have to do is ask the Holy Spirit to help you. So I said, okay. I said, Holy Spirit, help me. And it was like the room suddenly filled with light and surrounded my body, but I could see all the color spectrums. I could see all of the different colors in the spectrum of light. And it was flowing through me, and I just kind of felt like I was being lifted up on this. And it was the most overwhelming experience of lightness that, you know, and like I had no gravity, or no density. I was just being caught up in this incredible moment of God's power. And I came out of that experience. I woke up not long after that, came out of it, and I was speaking in tongues. And I had never spoken in tongues before. And it just happened. And it felt really weird. I mean, I can't say that it was... I remember standing up and looking at myself in the mirror, praying in tongues, thinking, you look like the weirdest dude on earth right now. And it took me a while to get used to it, but it was there. The gift was there. And I knew at that moment with all my heart that all I wanted to do was serve God, no matter what that meant. I would do anything. I'd go anywhere. I would, whatever. I was up for it. I said, Lord, you just tell me what I have to do. And I knew I had to go to Bible college and stoke the fires of what I'd experienced and go a little deeper. And so I guess all I want to say to you is that it happened for me in a number of different ways, and there were different stages to it. But the one thing that's overwhelming to me in each of those experiences is that it just drew me into the love of God in a way that I could never have earned or tried to figure out. And it confirmed to me that I was called, I was a child of God, and he was with me, and he was going to lead me to where I wanted to go, where he wanted to take me. Sorry. Now, I want to pray for people this morning. I want us to enter into this, pray for this. Especially for those of you who have never experienced this before, it's kind of baptism in the Holy Spirit. Or for those of you who seem dry, haven't been filled with the Spirit of God for a while. I want this to be very simple. Jesus said in John 7, if anyone comes to me who is thirsty, I will give them something to drink, living water that will well up and flow out of your soul. Anyone thirsty, come to me and drink. That's what Jesus said. And then John goes on to say, and Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. Luke 11, if anyone asks, they will receive. Anyone seeks, they will find. If anyone knocks, the door will be opened to you. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's a promise about the Holy Spirit. So I suppose I'm going to invite you now to stand up. I know Deb's done this a few times already this morning, and it's a good thing. And I want to just encourage you right now as we pray. I wonder if Monica and the band, if you guys could come and just create a bit of space for us. Three things as we come. One, come in faith. Come asking, believing that God actually wants to answer this prayer. The second thing is, you have to come in humility and surrender. You have to come saying, Lord, I do this on your terms, not on mine. And I guess the third thing is, again, don't take the mystery out of it. Just let the Spirit of God come and flow and touch you this morning. And the Lord wants to release us in our calling, and that's why he wants to empower us with his Holy Spirit, because what we're called to do can't be done in any other way. Are you with me? There's only one way that we can actually do the ministry of Jesus, and that's by being filled with the Spirit of Jesus. Not even Jesus did any ministry until he was filled with the Holy Spirit after he was baptized. And the Lord wants to fill us so that the gifts of the Spirit and the life of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit can well up within us and flow out of us and bless others. The Lord wants to fill us with his Spirit so that we can be bold in our witness. The Lord wants to fill us with his Spirit so that we can have courage to do what God has called us to do and not shrink back in fear. The Holy Spirit is given so that we can, so that the law of God, the fruit of the Spirit can grow and be produced out of our life. There are many reasons why God gives us his Holy Spirit, but the one thing that we need more than anything else in this day, and I believe the one thing that God is telling us as a church this morning, is that we will not achieve and enter into what he wants to do among us unless we enter into this first, unless we are filled with his Spirit and empowered with his Spirit. So here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to ask that you just hold on. If you need to go, like right at 12, and it's pretty much 12, then you should come first. But I'm going to ask all the elders and the leaders and the prayer ministry people to come forward right now, and I want you to come and line up here. I need you to move really quickly because we don't have a lot of time. All the leaders, prayer ministry people, come and line up here. And this is how we're going to do it. Unless you need to go right away, but I'm going to ask us all to receive prayer this morning. And so here's what I want to do is get this group over here to come first. And you're going to come, and I want you just to come and stand, and we're going to pray for you. And we're going to pray a prayer of faith. And then you're going to go back to your seats. And then this group, and then this group, and then this group. You with me? So let's do it. Come on, guys. This group over here. Come and receive prayer. And folks who are praying, I want you to pray in faith. Doesn't need to be long prayers. Just pray in Jesus' name. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive all that God has for you this morning. Come on, let's make this happen. And those of you who are waiting, don't just be passive. Stretch your hand forward. Pray. Let's stir up some faith and intercession here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I need a few more people to come and pray. Wes, come and pray. Roland, come and pray. Who else we got here? No, do it. All right. So, thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Okay. Has everyone got someone with their hands on them? So let's pray. In Jesus' name, pray for those who are up here this morning, that you receive the Holy Spirit, all that God has for you, that he will pour into you right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay, I need you to go back to your seats now. We're going to keep moving. Thank you, Lord. This is going to get messy. Yeah. This is going to get messy. Mess is good, amen? All right. If you've just received prayer, now, this group, I don't know how we're going to do this, but come and just line up. And just line up. Just line up along here. Let's push these seats back. What I'll get you to do is line up in a straight line. I'm actually going to get the prayer people to just move around and pray for people as they line up. Yeah. That's fine. That's good. All right, let's keep it moving. Just line up in a straight line along here. Sorry guys, if I could get you to push back just a little bit so we've got a bit more room. Come on, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. More of you, Lord. More of you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, just receive the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Basukarabata satanaba. Shiba mabasiba bashiya babasutu. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so if you've been prayed for, just would you go back to your seat? If you haven't got anyone, folks in the prayer ministry team, could you raise up your hand if no one's praying with you? Okay, so if you're waiting for prayer, come forward now.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus. I guess we can start in this group then. Anyone from this group who wants to come and receive prayer, just come up. Thank you, Jesus. There's some folks over here who are waiting to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord Jesus. More, Lord Jesus. More, Lord. More, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, come on, Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit. More, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. More, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. More of your Spirit. Come on, Lord. Okay, so if you're still waiting, come up. There's a few more spots open. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone in the prayer ministry team, if you aren't praying with someone, raise your hand up so that folks waiting can see you. So there's some folks over there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Oh, Lord. Just raise up your hand, Tony. Tony's available over here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. More, Lord. More of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. So, okay, if you've received prayer, I'm just going to ask you to go back to your seat so we can get some of these other folks in. Yeah, if you're available, raise your hand up. If you're available to pray, raise your hand up so these people can see. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I have four things that I that are disturbing me.
Okay. Let me just turn this off. Hang on. Couple of hands over here, all the way over. To fight your way through. Okay, has anyone not received prayer yet? Has anyone not received prayer? There's Brent and Susan still here. Julie is here. A couple over here, Carolyn and Trish. If you want more, come up for a second helping. That's allowed. Thank you, Jesus.